Scripture reading from today is from 1 Corinthians 12, 1 through 7. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, you were led astray to mutual idols, or mute idols, however you were led. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one is speaking in the Spirit of God ever says Jesus is accursed. And no one can say Jesus is Lord except in the Holy Spirit. Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good.
コリント人への手紙第1、12章1節から7節。さて兄弟たち、御霊の賜物についてですが、私はあなた方にぜひ次のことを知っていていただきたいのです。ご承知の通り、あなた方が異教徒であった時にはどう導かれたとしても、惹かれていったところは物を言わない偶像のところでした。ですから私はあなた方に次のことを教えておきます。神の御霊によって語る者は誰もイエスは呪われよと言わず、また聖霊によるのでなければ誰もイエスは主ですということはできません。さて賜物にはいろいろの種類がありますが、御霊は同じ御霊です。奉仕にはいろいろの種類がありますが、主は同じ主です。働きにはいろいろの種類がありますが、神はすべての人の中ですべての働きを なさる同じ神です。しかし皆の益となるためにおのおのに御霊の現れが与えられているのです。
Good morning again. How's everyone doing?Thanks, Phil. Thank you, everyone. Well, today is actually an important day for us. Actually, it's just an important day for me. Does anyone know what today is for me?
Your anniversary.
No.
Not birthday.
No.
Is it your anniversary?
Kind of an anniversary. It is kind of an anniversary to my church. So, you know, I actually forgot that day when that happened. So in March 2012 was my first Sunday at JCCT. So you guys don't know the blessing and the pain of being a pastor. No, just kidding. So this is my eighth year here. Starting my eighth year, finished my full seventh year. And, you know, in the Bible, the eighth day is actually a significant day. It's a new beginning. There's always 7 days in a week. There's also... After the seventh year is a special Shemitah year, and the 750th year is a Jubilee year. And, you know, there's always, numbers are important to the Lord because He's very precise. Nothing's by accident. And this is my eighth year, and I'm wondering what the Lord wants for me in the eighth year. A new beginning. So I'm going to try to do today like this was my first Sunday here. But we're continuing in our studies in 1 Corinthians. And as we study 1 Corinthians, I know I'm skipping over some of the chapters. I'm skipping over some practical advice to married and unmarried believers. I'm skipping over foods. What foods to eat, how do you treat food that's been, dedicated to idols. I'm passing over head coverings for women and why you need to wear head coverings when you come to church. And I'm skipping over stuff like Paul's right as an apostle kind of thing. And we'll hopefully go back and take a look at that. But I wanted to skip over all those things to look at today's passage concerning spiritual gifts, because I am going to start a small group, hopefully very soon. And so today's passage and the next two chapters, it covers the importance of spiritual gifts. In most translation, and probably in your translation, it says, "Now concerning spiritual gifts," in your Bible. However, that's in the Greek, that term spiritual gifts is the word pneumatikon. And that just simply means, I guess, spirituality. Now concerning spirituality, and of course, they insert the word gifts there because in context, you can see he's talking about spirituality in the forms of gifts. However, the reason why I point that out is because when you think of spiritual gifts, you think of maybe not, some people think of the word charisma, and you get the word charismatics from that Greek term. And charis, for those of you who are familiar with a little bit of Greek, means grace. And so a lot of times when we talk about spiritual gifts, it is in the form of grace. It's a gift. It's a grace. God gives it to you. But if you notice, now Paul is saying, now concerning spiritual gifts, and I make that distinction, pneumatikon, rather than charis, because I do think some of these things are grace, while other things, even though they're from the Lord, they're not necessarily grace in that term. And he gets into that more specifically when he says, now there are a variety of gifts. This is verse 4, but the same Spirit. There are varieties of services, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but the same God empowers them all. And then after that, he talks about this list. And this list is not all-inclusive, but it's a good place to start this conversation. Anyways, going back. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be uninformed. Why doesn't Paul want us to be uninformed? Because it's very important. It's an important aspect in the life of a church, is spiritual gifts, they're here. And they're called gifts not because they're here for our entertainment. A lot of times when we get gifts, it's, you know, it's like, oh, wow, that's amazing. And it's like a teddy bear or something. Well, this is not what Paul means when he's saying spiritual gifts. It's more like, here is a parasol. You know, here is a generator. Here is, for us Japanese people, a rice cooker. It's very important in our life, you know? You cannot live without these things. So I don't want you to be uninformed. You know that when we were pagans, you were led astray to mute idols, however you were led. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking in the Spirit of God ever says, Jesus is accursed, and no one can say, Jesus is Lord, except in the Spirit of God. Now, did you notice I was able to say, Jesus is accursed? Does that mean I don't have the Holy Spirit? And in the same way, somebody can say Jesus is Lord without having the Holy Spirit. I do think that this is a good starting point, but this isn't just the whole thing. In fact, Jesus himself said there will be many people that comes and says, Lord, Lord, didn't we do this, didn't we do that? And Jesus will say, no, I never knew you. Depart from me. Now, anyways, let me get back to just my notes. The reason for this letter and the next two chapters of it is spiritual gifts are very important. As a church, we cannot be conformed to this world. Being conformed to this world will ultimately lead us to say, let's do church the way the world would do church. Let's make policies, let's make our service, let's make everything without the Spirit. And there are churches that probably do that kind of thing, unknowingly. That they are doing church without the Spirit. And here Paul is saying, I believe, the church is a unique body of Christ where each and every member of that body is gifted spiritually in a way that is so important, vital to the life of not just the local body, but the entire body of Christ. And so each and every one of you, whether you know it or not, and whether you believe me or not, have been given spiritual gifts, services, and activities. And not each, and each and every one of you are unique and different in some ways. It's true in the physical, it is true in the spiritual. We are all gifted physically in different ways. And Jesus is, or Paul is saying, we are all gifted spiritually in different ways. Now, how many of you are confident and know what your spiritual gift is? Or how many of you confident in knowing what the varieties of activities the Lord has you to do? Or the work God has empowered you to do? How many of you are confident and say, I know it! And that's important, right? To be like, I know. Like the ear should say, I know what I'm supposed to do, I'm supposed to hear. I can't see anything. I can't move anything. Most of your ears can't move stuff, but some of you may have bigger ears. You know, I can't grab, I can't, some of your ears can wiggle, but most ears don't wiggle. I can't move, I can't do anything. I have one job, and my one job is I need to hear. I need to hear. Now, what if your ear didn't know that that was its job, and it didn't hear? And it tried to grab, or it tried to smell, or it tried to see. It would be no good. The body would not function well. Now, I know as we get older, some of our functions just start, like, stop working, you know. And the older you get, it's so weird. The more things stop working.
Careful.
You know, and I'm barely 41, or not even 41, and I'm already just, there's aches and pains, and my ankle just starts hurting for no reason, and things aren't working. But if the body, but here Paul is saying, you are the body of Christ. And if only 10% of the body were functioning normally, that is not a healthy body. If only 50% were functioning normally, that is not a healthy body. A healthy body, everything is functioning normally. Everybody knows what they're supposed to be doing. They know what they're gifted in. They know what they're called to do. They know what the work they're supposed to be doing. And that is the picture that Paul is saying when he's saying, you are the body of Christ. And he'll go on and say, you know, some of the body may not be as glorious as other parts of the body. But that doesn't mean it's not important. In fact, those places, those parts of the body that aren't as glorious as other parts, we treat those parts with special care. So that they all feel just as important. Here, I believe Paul begins this, I do not want you to be unaware, or I don't want you to be uninformed about spiritual gifts for a couple reasons. We don't know exactly why. So this is a letter Paul is writing because of some of the things he's been hearing from his friends. Maybe a letter that he received as well. But he talks about marriage, he talks about sex, he talks about idols, he talks about division. And now he's talking about spiritual gifts, and we don't really know exactly why he's talking about spiritual gifts. And here are some of the things people have said. It's probably because, one, the gifts were being misused. This was a highly gifted spiritually church, and the gifts were being misused. Some also believe that the gifts were being used, and it was being divisive. It was causing division. Like, the people that were speaking in tongues were more important than the peoples who weren't speaking in tongues. And some people also believe that perhaps one of the reasons why Paul begins to write this is because people started to try to stop the church from operating in spiritual gifts. And this is my own, although I think other commentators have said this, but perhaps one of the reasons why people try to stop the church from operating in spiritual gifts is because it really reminded them of the time when they were going to these pagan worship service and there was ecstatic things happening there. What I'm trying to get at is sometimes the manifestation of the Holy Spirit can look very similar to the manifestation of a demonic spirit. And they were getting all weirded out and saying, hey, you know, when I was going to the temple of wherever, Aphrodite, the temple of Zeus, the temple of these other pagan gods, they were doing some of these similar things, and it's freaking them out. This is not of God. And so Paul says, you know that when you were pagans and you were led astray to these mute idols, however you were led, that when the Spirit of God is upon you, you cannot say, curse God. And when the Spirit of God is upon you, that's when you say, Jesus is Lord, and start worshiping Jesus. And that's sort of in an ecstatic experience. You could tell the difference between a pagan and a person filled with the Holy Spirit because of the things that are happening. And the things that were happening, Paul is saying, hey, wasn't there worship of God? Wasn't there people saying, Jesus is Lord? That is the Holy Spirit. And I say all of that because, you know, we live, it seems like in the culture we live, it's like a pendulum, right? There was a huge swing to spirituality, and then there was a huge swing to more, to a place where spirituality was frowned upon. But I believe now this younger generation, there's a huge swing back to spirituality. And it probably has a lot to do with some of the things, the television shows, the movies that's out there, the books, and all these things that are taking spirituality seriously. And so the younger generation, they grow up in this culture and they value spirituality more than the older generation does. That is to say, it might look very offensive to the older generation. For some of you, I don't know if it will or it won't, but for some of you, it will look sort of like when the church operates in spiritual gifts, it might look like, hey, this isn't the Christianity I grew up knowing. This isn't the spirituality I'm comfortable and familiar with. This isn't even rational, or, you know, we need more reason, kind of thing. And I think there's a healthy balance when you start operating in the realm of the supernatural, a realm where reason, and Paul will talk about that later, needs to be a part of what's going on, even though you're being filled and moved by the Holy Spirit. There's a nice balance there. But you know what? When you start doing something for the first time, what happens? You get it wrong. No one gets it right the first time. And I think the problem is, it's because we get it wrong that a lot of times we shut it down and say, you know what, let's not do this anymore. But it would be like if I wanted to start playing golf, and you saw my swing, and the first time I swang, I didn't even hit the ball. In fact, I swing a lot of times, and most of the time, if I hit the ball, it just doesn't even take off. It goes one way, another way, it hits somebody one time, you know, and then you're like, okay, maybe you shouldn't play golf. Well, no one's going to be great at golf the first time they do it. Of course, there are those that are gifted. But if you want to do something, a lot of mistake is going to happen at first. Anyways, and that's what was happening in the Corinthian church, I just want to say. That there was a lot of mistakes happening in the Corinthian church. But Paul isn't saying, hey, you know what? You guys need to just stop it. Just shut it down. Just focus on my words that I'm saying to you. Just focus on the letter. Just focus on the cross. Just focus on salvation. You know, that needs to be central. But all these other things, they are, as Paul will say later, a manifestation of the Spirit. A manifestation of the Spirit in a couple ways. When a Spirit manifests, it does, I think, one of two things. It tells people the Spirit is here. When the Holy Spirit manifests, it lets people around know that the Holy Spirit is here. And the opposite is true. You know, there's demonic manifestations to let you know, oh, there's an unclean spirit here. But there's a holy manifestation to let you know, hey, there is something different here. There is a presence of God here. So when it says the manifestation of the Spirit, it manifests itself so that people, and if there are people that don't believe in God, will say, hey, you know what? Well, I don't know what that was, but that wasn't normal. And that's what a manifestation is. It also, I believe, in Scripture, it authenticated that a person was filled with God, with the Spirit. That doesn't have to always happen, in my opinion, but that's what did happen. So when some of the people, Peter, came and preached the gospel, before they were even baptized and said the sinner's prayer, what happened? There was a manifestation of the Spirit where they started speaking in tongues. And then they said, oh, even though they're Gentiles, they have the Holy Spirit in them. And they knew they had the Holy Spirit in them, not necessarily because of the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. You know, you can't tell that about anyone just sitting there listening. I can't say, you have the fruit of the Spirit because you're taking notes. You could just be doodling for all I know. You're not. I know. But if she started speaking in tongues, I could say, well, there's something weird with her right now. There's something going on with her. There's something different happening. And that's what happened. There was a manifestation of the Spirit, and people were saying, okay, God just filled that person. Well, it must be okay if we baptize them then. It must be a sign that they're part of the body of Christ now. Verse 4, he says, now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all. When it comes to understanding the gifts, the spiritual gifts, or the ways spirits manifest, there are gifts, services, and works or activities. There are various gifts, there are various services, there are various works or activities. And Paul points out that there are these three different things. And did you also notice what he did there? he kind of gives a nod to like the Trinity, you know. He mentions the Holy Spirit, he mentions the Lord, and he mentions God. And usually when it says God, it's God the Father. But going back, what are the differences between gifts, services, and activities? Now, Paul doesn't go, unfortunately, he does not explain the different nuances of these three. He just points it out and then he gives us a list. I personally don't know what the differences are because he doesn't go on to say the differences. One of the things I do think, I'll give you my opinion though, and my opinion is gifts are exactly that. They are gifts. And a lot of times when you see spiritual gifts, or Paul, he talks about he wants to impart something, impart spiritual gifts. And I believe gifts are something that are given and that can be imparted. You don't work for gifts. You just receive gifts. And it seems like Paul, as an apostle, sometimes could even impart gifts to people. And he longed to impart gifts to the people in Rome. He told Timothy, hey, remember the gift I imparted to you, fan that into flames. And so gifts, spiritual gifts, similar to natural gifts, because we're all gifted naturally in some ways, right? Yes?
Yes.
You know, some of us are gifted in language, some of us are gifted in... Some of you guys have better than 20/20 vision. Some of you could hear better, smell better. Some of you could just run faster than other people. If you're taller than, you know, 6 feet, that's a gift. You did not necessarily work to be that tall. If you're shorter than 5'2", that's a gift. You did not work to be that short. These are all gifts. God gifted us differently. And similar to the spiritual realm, there are gifts that God gives us. This did kind of sort of mess with my theology a little bit. It has nothing to do with spiritual gifts. You guys want to know what it is, though? Okay, so, you know, so a lot of times I said, you know, when God sets you free from sin, it's a gift, it's a grace, so no one could boast. I believe that still. But I do believe like this, some of them are gifts, some of them are services, some of them are works. I think sometimes it is a gift, sometimes you just have to work hard at it, and sometimes it's something else, you know. It doesn't always have to be one or done, black or white. I think just like a lot of what God does, it's multidimensional. Someone once asked me a question. Never mind. but my answer was, you know, God's covenant, God's promises, it's not black and white, right? What was the color of God's, if you have to name a color of God's covenant, what would it be? Red, orange? Anyone else?
Rainbow.
Who said rainbow? Brandy, Chelsea. That's right. That's actually biblical. When God gave Noah a covenant, it was a rainbow color. I don't know all the colors to the rainbow, but you know, it's not just one color. There's at least four. There's more than that, I know, but I just wanted to make sure I didn't go over. Because you lose if you go over. But God's covenant, God's ways, aren't just one way or done. God's gift isn't just one way or no. We're all created differently. If the pneumaticon, the spiritual ways that the Holy Spirit manifests, were all gifts, Paul would not say there are some gifts, there are some services, and there are some activities. These are all nuanced differently. I think though, so gifts, that's exactly that what it is. It's a gift. It can be imparted. You receive it. You don't necessarily have to work for it. Works, services you see in other parts of scriptures, it's actually translated as ministries. So there are different ministries. Now, I don't know if that's because it's more consistent. It's because maybe the gift has been turned into something more. So, you know, someone can be gifted and someone can be skilled. The difference is the skilled person worked at his gift and made it into a fine crafted skill. And maybe that's what this is. Services are something that the Lord called them and said, you've been faithful with a little, I'm going to give you more. And the more he gives is a ministry or a service or something you do more regularly, on a regular basis. And works, this is a word that's only used maybe twice in the Bible. And this is one, and the second time is going to be in the same chapter and talking about works of miracles. And perhaps this works that Paul is talking about is more of the miraculous types of works here. There are spiritual gifts, so all of these, but all of these, their work, they are given for us, for, in verse 7, for the common good. It's not for us to become famous. It's not for us to become noticed. It's not for us to use for financial gain. It's for us to use to serve one another for the common good. And so when I'm able to operate in the giftedness or the ministry or the work that God, the Holy Spirit, or the Lord wants me to do, hopefully it's a blessing to you. And if I bless you with it, guess what? It is better to give than to receive. So I'm blessed too. But certainly, it's not just the pastor that is gifted. It's not just the pastor that has a vital role in the church. So guess what would happen if I didn't show up to Sunday? If I didn't show up to church today? Probably get fired. I don't know. It's like, where were you? You know, obviously things won't be able to work as smoothly as we would like. Some people would get stressed out. Somebody have to take my place. Maybe it might be better. I don't know. But, you know, it would definitely put a kink in just the flow of things. But guess what? What happens if you don't show up? You know? Even just a little thing as, what happens if the pinky just decides not to show up to work today? And all of a sudden, it's not like moving with everything else. It might not make a huge difference to the rest of the body, but guess what it makes a difference to? The head. The head is like, oh no, there's something wrong. All that to say is, Jesus does care. He's not worried, but he does care. He wants you to operate, even if you think you're a pinky. And I don't know if anyone's a pinky here. In fact, some of you are more important than you know. Which has maybe, perhaps, depending on your spiritual bent, eternal consequences. And so Paul is saying, I don't want you to be uninformed. I don't want you to be ignorant. These things are so important for the life of the church. He goes on at the end of this chapter and says, you guys have to eagerly desire spiritual gifts. You have to want it. Not just, it's a good start to believe in it, especially in the world we live in. That's a good start, but that's not what the Bible says. The Bible is assuming you already believe in it, and he's saying, you have to want it. It goes on, and this is maybe perhaps a little out of context, but it goes on to say, especially the gift of prophecy. In context, he might be talking about like the, something else, but it says, especially the gift of prophecy. Now, I heard one minister say, he decided to eagerly pursue that gift of prophecy because of that scripture verse. Because it's not a suggestion, it's a command. The Bible says, hey, you got to, if the Bible says do it, then we should probably do it, right?
Yes.
Okay, good. Okay. Whew, I'm in the right place. You can't say that without the Holy Spirit in you. Now, to each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. In context, the reason why Paul was writing it, one of the reasons why Paul was writing it is because it began to create divisions, and probably that may be the reason why he doesn't go on to explain the differences between gifts, services, and activities. Because the point isn't to try to divide people more, but to bring people together to unite the body. But in uniting the body, one of the pitfalls of uniting the body is we often want people to conform, right? So I sent in my notes to Tamao, and she's like, do you mean uninformed or uniformed? Because I think I said uniformed in one of the things, and I'm like, oh, that'll preach right there. Because, he doesn't want us to be uninformed, and he doesn't want us to be uniformed either. He wants us to be different. He created us different because he wanted us to be different. If you've seen the movie The Stepford Wife, it's a movie about these wives conforming to this standard of what a woman wants, and they just talk about cooking, they want to knit, they're excited about, all of these things that the ideal wife should want, and if they fall out of line, guess what? They'll probably kill that person and get a robot to take its place. The church sometimes is like that. We want people to be like us. And whoever has the most influence or power and authority, that's who we want it to become like. But that's not what the church is supposed to be. The church is supposed to embrace diversity because that's what God wants. That's how God created us. And instead of being uniformed, we need to be united but diverse. And these diverse activities, whether it's from the Lord, the Holy Spirit, God the Father, they need to all be working together as one for the common good. And so a healthy church, we're looking at 1 Corinthians as a model of a healthy church. A healthy church is one that embraces the diversity, but also explores that and allows people to do what they were gifted in. Now, if you're just standing here, sitting here for the last 30 minutes, hopefully you got something out of it. But I don't know if this is the ideal model of church. But church isn't just done on a Sunday. So after you hear this little talk I'm giving, hopefully this will whet your appetite to want to know more about yourself, about what God wants, about what God wants to impart to you, the activities, the services, the ministries, the works, the gifts He has for you, to eagerly desire it as the scripture says, and not just to know it and to be entertained by it, but to transform the world we're in, the sphere we're in, the people we're around, so that the Holy Spirit can manifest through us to reveal the glory of God to others. And so I am going to do an intro to the prophetic. It's going to look at spiritual gifts. And again, if you're interested in joining a group, I'm hoping to have like a morning group that starts around 11 on a Thursday morning. And then an evening group that starts around 6. And if you're interested in joining this group, and I do have sort of a syllabus kind of thing. It's a 7-week course, and we're going to take the part one is a survey of the Old Testament prophets with practical applications. Part two is a survey of prophecy in the New Testament with practical applications. And we're going to look at what the Bible says about this gift of prophecy. And although you may not be gifted in that area, it is a basic kind of teaching where I believe everyone can benefit from, because basically prophecy is hearing the voice of God. And I believe the scripture is clear when it says a believer knows the voice of God. Jesus says, "My sheep know my voice." And so we'll look at what does it mean to hear the voice of God in terms of, you know, and in the context of prophecy. So if you're interested in that, come see me real quick after service for the next 10 minutes. I'll get your information down, and hopefully we can start those small groups. But as we close today in this message, I hope in some ways you are wondering, hey, what did God gift me with? What is God calling me to do? What is the work that God wants to do through me? Because again, each and every one of you has been called. Each and every one of you are a vital part of the body. Arms, legs, nose, eyes, ears, tongues. All different, all important, all necessary. What are you? And the sooner you find out, the sooner we will all be blessed. You will be blessed. This world that needs Christ will be blessed. The blessing goes all around. God created you uniquely. He shaped you in such a way that there's only one of you. Unless you got cloned or something. No, just kidding. There's only one of you. Well, let's pray. And as we close our eyes, and as we close our time here, let's wait upon the Lord for a little bit. Let's wait and see if the Lord has anything for you personally. Holy Spirit, I ask you to come. I ask you to begin to reveal yourself to your children. Who they were called to be, what they were meant to do. church of God will begin to move, function at a greater rate. Not just 1%, not just 10%, not just 50%, but at 100% capacity. The world has yet to see the church operate in such a way. And we pray, Lord, that you would begin with us, with me, Lord. Begin with me, Lord. All right. I'm going to ask, did God speak to anyone in particular? You know, it's true. They say, like, when you ask that question, it's really hard to not say anything because it's uncomfortable, the silence. And so I talked immediately, but... Did the Lord speak to anyone in terms of gifts, callings, activities, anything of that nature? Well, if he did, that's great. I hope you would be comfortable enough to share it with somebody. And as we talk more about gifts, because the next couple of chapters is about gifts, hopefully we could be more than just informational, but we could begin to practically operate in some of the gifts that God gave us, and we'll look at some of the gifts that's available to us, and we'll do that next time. But we'll close this part of our worship service today with communion. And